Fortunately, I hope you had a good rest. By Krishna's mercy, finally, after maybe a week, I had my first night where I was really able to rest. And that's important. My mind is now back to normal. Very nice. Please, during this festival, which we try to give more like a, we say, spiritual family atmosphere, during this festival, take care that you don't go over the edge and push yourself too much, because a lot of, let me say, you can really derive the full benefit from this festival, in this festival in particular, if you are able to really take up the spiritual impressions in an undisturbed way. Your mind needs to be your friend, in other words, and not your enemy, because it complains constantly. Oh, I'm so tired and I'm so worked over. Please, especially during this particular Nityananda Tyrolesi festival, I will require your full attention during the lecture times, and we all know when we are tired, or when we are in an uncomfortable atmosphere, our minds are just not able to objectively take up information, so they act like enemies to us when they are tired and exhausted, and then we see a lot of negativity where only positive things really are. It's so important for me to say that we live in a time, just the quality of the time is that there's a lot of misery on this planet Earth at the moment, and maybe not even so much misery, but a lot of anxiety. Everyone in modern times is feeling anxious about many things, political things, just the future. People are concerned about the environment, the prices for the normal things grow, relationships are very often disturbed, and there's this constant negativity, and it is really increasing in our Western culture. I don't know about Asia, but I guess it's there also. It seems to me, for the first time in my life, I am a very positive person, as you know, when I sleep enough. but for the first time in my life, I really see how people are really not peaceful. They are anxious in their minds, and I see this also in relationship to the devotees of Krishna. Nowadays, when I speak to people, there's always a lot of, they're disturbed, they're anxious, they're worried about their lives, and there's a lot of misery. So let this be an island of happiness, this festival, where you take up a few inspirations maybe in your life, a few inputs your impulses, Anregungen, we say in German language, so that you can make your mind your friend again. Also the subject which I will discuss in my two lectures, maybe three lectures, I have to see how much I need to make the subject clear. I feel it is a key to a fulfilled life in Krishna consciousness. Good, so I want to welcome you. We will become more and more of us as the days increase.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Could you maybe, I understand you have to sit like this, which is very good, but maybe sit on the side so that you don't get this.
Sit a little. You can be in charge of the window. Just sometimes open it and then close it, and only for a short time. Yes. Krishna, Krishna. So, Hare Krishna. Yes. I should give you a little introduction into this lecture. It is actually part one. Part of the all the lectures which I give during this time, they are all thematically, how do you say this in English? They are from the theme connected with each other. I will talk about something which will require your attention, really, and afterwards your personal reflection. I could imagine that some of you will like to listen again to the recordings, maybe even a few times. When I give these lectures, which are connected with Nityananda Trayodashi and my own birthday, I'm of course aware that you come to this festival because it's a festival where our relationship is in the foreground. It's a festival where you come really more like other festivals on other lectures. You come to see myself. This I do not like to speak about it. Who likes to say, welcome to my birthday? I just don't feel like this. But it is an unspoken truth that this is there. So, of course, I think now during the many months before, what will be my messages? What do I really want to share with you? I liked very much Gaurahari's question yesterday, who said to you that I believe Ram Gopal or another had asked him, so Gaurahari, for the last year, what is your relationship with Sachinanda Swami? What moves you? What has happened? What has maybe changed? What is happening in this relationship? You know, a relationship is not a stone. It is an organic entity which grows like a plant grows. At least if it's healthy, there should be a growth, a progress. So he asked Gaurahari this question: What have you realized in your relationship? What has happened, so to say? Gaurahari thought, wow, this is a good question. It's so good, Gaurahari thought, that he would address this question yesterday to all of you and give this question over to you. So I am also thinking in the same way. What has happened in my relationship to your to you as who are connected with me? What do I observe? What do I see from my perspective is changing in your life? And
also, what do I think needs to be changed? In other words, I'm also thinking about this relationship very seriously, and being the person who I am, and I'm thinking deeply about it. On long walks, I sit near trees, I pray to Krishna, and I ask the Lord, how can I be more helpful so that this is a meaningful thing? I notice, of course, that to some of you it's easier for me to get into your heart, but others have decided to remain where they are, and they are stuck in their own little world, and they do not allow me to enter this world any longer. I can see this very clearly, and I think, how do I find a door to these people? How do I find the path to them? I see many things, because it's almost like today I met Ramananda Gopal, and I wanted to know, why did Charu Giridhari, why did he cry? We didn't see each other for so long. Had I done something wrong? Do I need to change basic things in my life? And Ramananda Gopal, I asked him, what was? Why did he? He said, no, it has nothing to do with you, Maharaj. It was about the video game. He was not satisfied. There was something that we tried to give him a video game, but he was not satisfied with this. And then he cried when. And I thought, how does he know? Well, he is a little older than Charu Giridhari. He's older, and he's also on a different level. He is a pujari, he is a father, and from that higher level, he has an insight into what is going on in his child. So it is like this always. People who are older than us, who are on different levels in their spiritual lives, they see us very easy. They just need to look in our face and they see it. And they ask themselves, how can I help this person at this stage of the relationship? You know, we have to be afraid of people who can look and read us like a newspaper. We have to put our subtle doors, we have to close them so that they don't come too close. But spiritual people always want our benefit. They always are well-meaning. That's why they do what they do, because they want to help in whatever way. That's their life. So I'm thinking what will help you. Now, I will come with a subject matter which some of you will be angry at me, the older devotees especially. They will be angry. Why does he talk about this? But I request those who give in to an automatic, impulse-driven response, which can be explained psychologically why the response is like this, but we no need to get into this part. I request you to listen to the end, because the end is totally different than the beginning. It's a journey, in other words, which I want to take you on. I will ask you during this festival, how well do you do in surrendering your will to the will of God? It's a heavy question. How well do you do in surrendering your will, which is the will of a small jiva, to the will of the Supreme Lord? How surrendered are you? How well does the small self do in surrendering to the big self? How is this going on? And
I will take you on a journey in this question. The beginning of our journey will be a little philosophical, and the end of the journey will end with a lot of unexpected answers which can help us to enter more into the world of surrender. Now, while I speak, I want to start with Rupa Goswami. I know, now Rupa Goswami was speaking about the highest things, and he felt in his humility that he was not qualified to do this. But still he spoke, and he gave an introductory verse why he touched such a high subject. He said, gold can be purified even if you light the fire which will melt the gold. Now, even if the person who lights the fire which will melt the gold is a barbarian. So, your hearts, my dear devotees, can be purified even if the person who will now put on the fire is a barbarian, even if he is not so qualified. Then the same way, I will now try to light a fire of transcendental knowledge so that all of our hearts will be purified. But I want to request you, you are all saintly devotees on different levels of your journey, but you are saintly. Please also purify this fallen soul, Sachinanda Swami, who is not really a saint, but who talks about saintly matters to you. I think if we honestly approach the subject matter like this, that it will be a high spiritual subject matter, and it will purify all of us. So let us all show kindness to each other, master to the students and the students to the master, so that something wonderful can happen in our association, that we really leave this association purified with deeper insights and more inner strength than we had when we came to this assembly. Let us be willing, let us be respectful to the subjects, let us be kind to ourselves, to listen to something which is beyond us, and learn. This is my desire. So I will just now make some arrangement. Please only open when I give you a sign. Yes, but stay there. Whenever something touches your heart, either it makes you very enthusiastic, or it makes you very rebellious, you should know that this has something to do with you. If it would not touch you in any way, it would not have something to do with you. It would not be relevant for you. It wouldn't have any meaning for you. So, whenever we respond, either enthusiastic or rebellious, we should see that this is something which is important for me. This happened to me when I heard a little while about a Russian saintly devotee, an ISKCON devotee, and it had touched me in very deep ways.
I had struggled with what I heard. I was really not sure, is this a saint or is it a stubborn Russian when I heard it? So I had this question, which showed I was really moved. I thought, well, it could be a saint, it could be an ordinary person. And I had a bad word for this, it's a stubborn person. But the fact that I was moved showed me this subject is something you have to address in your life. The story of the is like this. It is an elderly lady, I guess around 70 plus years, who sold her apartment after she had read in the Gita for some time, Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, and who had then taken shelter in a temple in I'm not so sure, Azerbaijan. Azerbaijan, like Azerbaijan. Yeah. Not so easy. Azerbaijan. So, you say it like this in Russian also?
Yes.
Yes.
It's Azerbaijan.
Yeah, I saw it also. You are not from Russia, Maria. We all are. Azerbaijan, not Bajan. Bajan, so you are not from Russia. So, it's easier with Bajan, yes. So she took, she sold everything and then went into a temple. You know, we know what temples mean, as young people, inexperienced in spiritual life because they're practicing for hardly 10 years. Young. But she surrendered there and she developed a great amount of devotion to Krishna. So much so that all the devotees who had deities and who did not want to worship the deities any longer, there must have been older devotees. Yes, I say it with some sadness, these comments. They gave their deities to the lady, and although she only had one room, it was full with deities. One day she surprised the temple by doing something extraordinary. She had bought a radio-controlled little car and had put one of the deities, Gopal, in the car, and went, and the Gopal was, and she was driving the car. This crazy little thing, and the toys, which boys had all over the courtyard of the temple. And when they asked her, this was certainly not a GBC authorized method of devotional service. And when they asked her, why are you, this is a new method? She said, Gopal told me. And she was so serious. But everyone thought, is it possible that the Lord tells the devotee? Maybe it is. I mean, it's in our books that the Lord talks in the heart to the devotees. But it was so different from what anyone. And she said, you don't understand. He is a child. He likes things that children like, moving. You can ask Charu Giridhari, he's a child also, of a GBC authorized pujari, and he will have ideas about in life which are very unusual. They're childlike ideas. So he's a child, he's small, he's the boy of Yashoda, he wants to play and to have movement and fun. And what he thought, she's special for sure. Then one day they showed her a movie, a video of Lord Nrisimhadev's Ahobilam.
We have been there with Shrishti Kata and other devotees. It's a place right in the jungle with, I believe, 9 temples. Some of them are really in the wilderness. I mean, you really have to fight your way through snakes and under waterfalls. It's really an adventure to go there. And what was it? She saw in this movie this one temple. I've also visited this temple. There you have to wait for a kilometer or so through water which goes up to your chest. And the temple, the deity is in a cave, and another deity is right up on a hill, but in the temple, because no one comes, there are many bats. It really looks spooky when you first come in. Then you have the darshan, and the darshan is wonderful, and there it's really divine, but it's a journey. And there's and while you walk in the water, you don't see it. Sometimes you know, I stepped on a snake, but you don't know, will it bite me or not? It is something. So she was seeing this video, and then after some time, and this temple was only worshipped once a week because the pujari was a little elderly and it was so austere to go there. And then she surprised again the temple and said, Lord Nishinadev had appeared in her dream and told her she must come there and worship him, because only once a week he gets some offering, and that's too less, that's not sufficient for him. So she announced it to the temple, and the temple said, you want to go alone into the wilderness? It will not work. You are, and do you know that you are a woman? They don't allow women to do any puja on principle in South India. You won't be able to do Lord Nishinadev's will. You will not. The lady was determined, and one day she was in Delhi, 2 suitcases full, not with cloth but with deities, because remember, her full room was full. And soon she, I will make it short, she was in Ahobila. She was not allowed to do worship, of course not. But then she was so humble and so devoted, and she chanted so much that the villagers came, they became attracted to her, helped her, built her a little cottage. And after some time, the major came. Major means burgermeister. Mayor, thank you. The mayor came, and he made a proclamation in the newspaper. He said, look at this foreigner from Azerbaijan who has come here, and she teaches us surrender to the Lord's will. We live in comfortable houses, but our Lord, whom we worship, he lives in a cave, half submerged in water. What type of people are we? We are dead, really dead Hindus. This must change now. I'm selling half my house and giving the proceeding to a proper temple for Lord Nishinadev. And many things like this happened. Newspaper articles happened. There was a revival of spiritual life in the area. One day, a snake bit the old lady. She went down, and as her life was ebbing out of her body, she prayed to Lord Nishinadev, you called me here. If you want me to come now to you, then take me. But if you, please, I think it's good if I stay a little longer. If you want to give me life, you can give me life. And she heard a voice, that's how she said it. Take my charanamrita, pour it on the bite of the snake, and you will live. And she told me, this is not a normal way to deal with snake bites. It's considered highly infective to put something there. But she put it and she came back to life. And so on. There will be many, there are many stories like this about her. And it touched me. She has now left her body. It touched something very deep inside of me. Something which I have not entirely forgotten, but something which had moved a little bit in the background of my life. When I came, before I came to Krishna consciousness, I was very interested, I was not interested in material life. It was really not, and people thought something could be wrong with me. I thought something is wrong with me because everyone had girlfriends. I didn't have, was not interested in this. And everything, everyone had things which I just did not have. And I went to the psychologist and he thought, there is nothing wrong with you. You're a little intense by nature. But whatever you like it very much. And you like a different life very much. You're not meant for, you're not happy in material life. And that was my disposition before I came to Krishna consciousness. Then I read in the books and I could see the uncompromising nature of Krishna consciousness. I talked recently to one of my oldest, no, my oldest disciple, and said, what attracted you to Krishna consciousness? And he said, wow, these people meant business. They meant what the devotees meant, what they were talking about, service of Krishna and living a really spiritual life. They really lived a simple life for spiritual realization. And I said, you've also, I also like this very much. Yeah, that's why I came. And I said, I also came only because of this. But in the course of living our life, you know how it is. We are then interested all of a sudden in projects. We are interested in our life. Some of us have married and have gotten children. And we see there are many interests next to the spiritual interest in me. We are persons and we want to develop our personality fully. We feel if we don't develop the entire personality, we might never go back to Krishna. And so on, many things come. And although the spiritual calling is always there, there are also many other things there in our lives. Many things. Like when I sit down and think, there are 50 subject matters I immediately have to think about because my life has become complex. Of course, I do all these with the hope that I will please Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, but the things are themselves so absorbing. They take so much energy that sometimes I forget, or it's not so clearly there. And I'm not happy about it always. So when I heard about this Russian lady, I was strangely touched. Don't now ask me if I accept everything about this lady on the highest, that she's on the highest level of surrender. I am very critical, more critical than you will be pleased with. I think always that there is an element of human psychology mixing into everything we do until we are enlightened, and I'm really hesitant to give this title fully enlightened to anyone, but this is not the point. The point is it really spoke to me in a very clear language. It was in my emails, the story about her was in my emails, and I forgot all other emails when I read it. I thought, oh no, not a long email again, please. And after the first few sentences, I had forgotten everything, because it touched something in me, a deep desire, a deep, deep place inside, a place which I believe is there in every one of us if we allow ourselves to be touched. Because you are not by chance in the Hare Krishna movement, which is most probably one of the wildest adventures of the human race. I'm saying adventures because we are trying to make it as stable as possible, but spiritual people are also people, always people on a journey where only the spiritual compass can show the next station. You know, it's always out of this world and a little otherworldly. So there must, you must be, it must have touched you, otherwise you are a very poor person and cannot get your food anywhere else. And we have a few of these also here, but this is really a minority, maybe two or three, so on. So it touched me very deep, because it touched the deepest place which is there. And I thought, how well, how am I doing in my own surrender to Krishna? Do I at all hear the voice any longer, or has it become silent because the Lord is thinking he's a useless case? I don't know. Or do I hear that small little voice which calls me, you are meant to live a life with me, you know it? Or like Rumi says, there's a candle in your heart waiting to be lit, and I think you know it. It's a very nice poetic way of expressing this longing, which is maybe the deepest place of a human being. Good. The way to respond to this longing is to surrender to this voice which calls us. It's the path of Sharanagati. Gati means to move and approach, and Sharana means a shelter, to approach a shelter. It indicates a journey, in other words, with different degrees of intensity and different degrees of realization. You approach someone to take shelter. That's Sharanagati. You go there. You turn to Krishna. You don't turn away to Krishna. You don't turn, this is now English language, a cold shoulder to Krishna. Sag mal auf Deutsch, Krishna, die kalte Schulter zeigen. You turn to Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita are Krishna's own words, and he talks about, he prepares Arjuna, and then finally he talks what is in the mind, his mind. It says, technically speaking, this is Vishwanath Chakravarti's opinion, the Gita ends with this verse, because Krishna has said what he really meant to say. He has given his medicine to the conditioned souls. So, the verse you all know, please chant it with me. Savadhamam parijaja mamekam sharanam vaja aham tvam sarvamayo moksha yashyami asucha. Thank you. abandon all varieties of religion, give them up, and just surrender unto me. Krishna seems to say, that's enough. I shall deliver you from all the reactions. Do not fear. Prabhupada comments, it is here said that even if one is not free from all sinful reactions, simply by the process of surrendering to Sri Krishna, he is actually freed. Wonderful. This was his flute song. Thank you. For Krishna trying to get to us. Can you hear that again, please? No, I'm serious. It's all right, you're from another country. That was so nice, no? We heard Krishna's word at the end, the flute today. Wow. That was a good, auspicious beginning. What he says is that there are so many different processes. Yoga, karma, jnana. Part of jnana is the psychological investigation of the truth. The whole investigation with using all departments of our human intelligence, including this one. I'm saying this because we have some modern fascination with psychology in our disciplines, which is good when it is coming to the conclusion, which I think it comes. So many processes, really so many processes, but the simple method of surrendering unto Krishna will save us the time to go through all of them, or the problem to get stuck in one of them. But Prabhupada in his purpose said, if you don't come in with all these processes to the point of surrendering to the will of God, they are in vain. They are not bringing you where you should come to join him in the spiritual world. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, may you and all other people who have given up all dharmas, your own and everyone's else, this, may you who are now absorbing your thoughts and actions in me, surrender to me. May everyone who does this remain in contentment. You know, to surrender to Krishna, you might feel, will I be content with this? Will I be satisfied with this? Vishwanath said, yes, you can be content. And please don't have any doubt, he said. He says, that Krishna says, I have myself accepted the burden of freeing you from sin. And I have accepted the burden of freeing you from samsara. Ananyas chintayantumam. I carry the burden of supplying the maintenance of those who desire constant association with me and who think only of me and worship only me. I myself do this. And now please do not think, oh, I have thrown my own burden on my master. That's not good. No. Krishna says, it is not a strain at all for me. It's not a burden. Because I'm so affectionate to my devotee. Nothing. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Krishna now says, finished. Nothing else remains to be instructed. Thus, this scripture, Bhagavad Gita, is concluded now. Finished. It's the main point.
Yesterday I told a little illustration of this, and some of you were not yet there. I would like, for sure, those who see the video on the camera, internet camera, that were not there, I want to tell the story again about this point of surrender. There was the son of Kuresha who became the next successor in the Ramanuja Sampradaya after Ramanuja left his body and the heading of the Sampradaya. I forgot his name. It starts with P, but I forgot the rest. So he was with his with a group of disciples and friends traveling through a deep jungle. And all of a sudden they saw a hunter who really looked confused and distracted and suffering. He was shaking as if he had seen a demon or something. And this great devotee stopped and said, why are you like this? What disturbs your mind so much? And the hunter replied, he said, I was in the forest hunting and I had pointed my arrow at a fat rabbit, ein fettes Kaninchen. And I was just about to lose my arrow and shoot when the rabbit became aware that I was there and I would kill it. So the rabbit looked at me, ran towards me, and circled me three times, ran around me three times, and then put his head on my feet. The rabbit had taken shelter in me, hoping for my kindness. But I'm a hunter, I kill animals. And I was thinking, should I shoot it or should I? Then I decided to put the bow away and let the rabbit live. And it has totally upset me. I'm thinking about this day and night. And this devotee who heard this fainted. And when he finally came back, the other devotees asked him, why has it moved you so much? And he said, gave this answer. The rabbit had not read in the Bhagavad Gita that it should surrender. It cannot read. But it was such a natural impulse for him to come at the point of danger and surrender the life to the only savior, in this case the hunter. And the hunter had no idea about protecting an animal. He was a hunter. But because protecting someone who takes shelter is so natural that even he put down his bow. Why am I, who have read in the Bhagavad Gita, give up all other occupations, surrender unto me? Why am I not doing this? This is so unnatural. I'm so unnatural. I'm so, the Bhagavatam would say, viparyaya smriti, my intelligence is twisted. Verdrehte Intelligenz, sagt man in Deutsch. Krishna is saying, Kunteya pratijanehi name bhakta pranashati. Those who are my devotees are personally protected by me, but I'm hesitating to offer my devotion to Krishna. What has gone wrong with
me. Now this is what this great devotee said.
The reason why it is difficult to surrender is explained in the Padma Purana.
There's a beautiful verse which explains that by our nature we are dependent upon the Lord. Indeed, the very essence of our existence is to be utterly reliant upon the Lord. Reliant means something like being depending on the Lord. In this way, the Padma Purana says, one should give up the sense of his own independence, which is separate from the Lord. But there is something which keeps me. It's the ego. But the Padma Purana says, therefore we say in our mantras, Namaha. Na means not, and Ma means ego. We have to deny on the path of surrender the voice of the ego, the self-asserting ego. Let us look at this word self-asserting. These are all difficult words. Self-asserting, I don't even want to ask an English speaker what it means. To assert means you assert yourself. You represent something. This is my opinion. I'm a vegan. All these who drink milk are really low class. This is an assertment. I assert myself. They say protect the cow, but they are part of slaughtering the cow. They have no ethics in their spiritual life. Self-asserting view is this. So, I'm saying something which might agitate some of you, so that you understand what it means to assert yourself. It means to take a step. So, self-asserting ego means the ego takes a step. I am here, that person. It is my right. I am the one who is in the center. So with Namaha, the word Namaha, says the Padma Purana, we move out of the center of our self. So for all of those who wish to quote me, I have not said that vegan is the only way a Hare Krishna movement should, a Hare Krishna devotee should live. It is a question, should we not? But I have not given an answer. I just wanted to give an illustration to the point, to ask, to show what means to assert something. It's a strong point he takes, a self-asserting ego. The ego takes a strong point. It's my life. It's my life. And Krishna, yes, it's part of my life. It's part of my life. It's okay. What is the solution for this? Well, we should remain free from anxiety, and we should approach the Lord for shelter. Approach means I walk more and more in this direction, every year a little bit more, and I will engage more and more in activities for the satisfaction of Krishna. This is how Jiva Goswami describes the process of surrender. Now, it's not an end station, it's a process. I take more and more shelter at Krishna. For instance, during such a festival, I pray to Krishna, oh Krishna, please, I'm on my way, please help me, please give me the taste I need, the inner strength I need. And do more and more activities for his satisfaction. As we will hear at the end of this
lecture series.
We should more see how we can engage in activities and in his satisfaction. I live in a place where we have a very nice householder community, and the householders there are giving, in my opinion, a very good example. They have their own lives and their own worlds, but they consciously do activities for the pleasure of Krishna. More and more and more. They advance very nicely. And I noted that.
So, I have not even started the lecture, by the way, because we usually start with a verse, and I'm not even comfortable. But it's good, we have a fasting day today. There's no breakfast, and we can try to surrender to listening. I will soon come to the end, because lectures shouldn't be too long.
Please, we want to chant now a verse. We have written it down. I hope it is readable from wherever you are sitting. But if not, you can just switch to hearing the Sanskrit. I think it's the Sanskrit. Yes, it's the Sanskrit. It's Krishna speaking to another of his dear devotees, Uddhava. Madhyo yada tyaktva na tyakta samasta karma.
Madhyo yada tyaktva samasta karma.
Niveditatma vichikeshito me.
Niveditatma vichikeshito me.
Tadamritatvam pratipat. Yamano. Mayatma bhujaya chakalpate vai.
Mayatma bhujaya chakalpate vai.
Madhyo yada chakta samasta karma.
Madhyo yada chakta samasta karma.
Niveditatma vichikeshito me.
Niveditatma vichikeshito me.
Tadamritatvam patipadyamano.
Tadamritatvam patipadyamano.
Mayatma bhujaya chakalpate vai.
Mayatma bhujaya.
So here, Lord Krishna speaks to his most confidential servant, Uddhava. You can envision the scene. Lord Krishna sits in his palace. He's very, very serious. He is very serious because he knows he will depart soon. He will leave Uddhava and all the devotees and go back to the spiritual world. They will never see him in the planet Earth in that form. They will only see him while they are there in the mirror, in their heart, in their mind. And if he chooses to quickly come, he is going. Uddhava knows that the Lord is going, and Uddhava is crying. There's a painting which was written after one instruction from an acharya, where Uddhava places his heart, not his head, on the feet of Krishna, expressing his great, great, great sorrow. Now, I just read a beautiful book of His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj. The Prabhupada, who was very ill, left Vrindavan to go to the West. Bhakti Charu Maharaj thought he will never see him again. He didn't have a passport. He could not go himself. And so he went up to Delhi, up to the departure lounge,
And he thought, I will never see Prabhupada again. He will leave his body in the West. He felt a little like this. So he went to Srila Prabhupada in the departure lounge. He put his head down before his feet and he just cried and cried and cried. All of a sudden he felt a hand on his back. It was Prabhupada who was patting him on his back, solacing him to his... it was a moving scene. So Uddhava is crying like this as the Lord is preparing to leave the world. And then Krishna tells him a secret in which he puts the whole philosophy in one verse. It's about Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. He says, the living entity is subject to birth and death. This means Sambandha. We are in this world, we are subjected to birth and death. But the living entity can attain immortality when he gives up all material activity and dedicates his life to the execution of my order and then acts according to my directions. In this way, he becomes fit to enjoy the spiritual bliss derived from exchanging loving mellows with me. Let us go part by part. So Krishna says to Uddhava, in this world we are subjected to birth and death. That's Sambandha. Now Abhideya, how you can make a connection with Krishna? You can, if you give up material motivated activities, they come from this ego, and you dedicate the life to the execution of my order, Uddhava, and you act according to my directions. That's Abhideya. And then Prayojana, the goal. In this way he becomes fit to enjoy the spiritual bliss derived from exchanging loving mellows with me. Prayojana means you are in your rasa, your relationship with Krishna, and enjoy a loving exchange with Krishna, the supreme love. This is a verse which has these, it's a unique verse, because Krishna, he's God, he can speak in a small verse everything. So it's a very nice verse. Would you like to hear Prabhupada's purport?
Yes.
Good. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam. It's, those who like to take notes, here you will find this verse. In the 11th canto, 29th chapter, verse 34. Krishnadas Kaviraj quotes it in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but it's originally from Bhagavatam. Krishna was advising his most confidential servant, what was his name? Uddhava, yes, about Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. These concern one's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the activities of that relationship, as well as the perfection of life. The Lord also describes the characteristics of confidential devotees. It's everything in there. It's a verse to take note of. I know this verse is there, and I will make this more. I would like to end this class by asking a question. Is surrender really such a bad word? which we need to fear?
Well, we need to think about this. In Sanskrit, the word is prapatti or sharanagati. It means really something else than the English word surrender and the German word hingeben. Hingeben is already a little better than surrender. But see, when you translate words from Sanskrit to English, the word which you choose in the English language or German language is already pregnant with the history of the usage. I want to give you a simple understanding. In old times you would say, it's a gay day. This is how you would say for such a festival. It's a gay day. It's a festive day. Today, when you say this is a gay day, you think, well, a gay parade will come soon. You know? Gay means those who are not heterosexual, but homosexual. Hmm? Gay, die Schwulen, ist ein schwuler Tag, würdest du sagen in Deutsch. But in old, in modern times, the word gay has this meaning, but in old times, it had a festival meaning. So, when you have a word, it carries a certain meaning, and the meanings change over time. And this is also with surrender. It has a certain meaning. If you look it up in the dictionary, it means surrender as surrendering to an opponent or an enemy. You surrender to an opponent or an enemy. But is God your opponent and an enemy? That sometimes when we hear this word, which has this meaning, our impulse is, it has to do with something which the Germans had to do when they were finally, by God's grace, defeated by the Russians, you know. My father tells me about this time. He was before Stalingrad. Is that a Russian way of saying it?
Stalingrad.
Yeah, thank you. And finally they had them. But the Germans said, we won't surrender to our opponent. And my father told me he saw many cases where the Germans, in order to avoid surrender to the enemy, took to cannibalism. That means they ate their own comrades, of course, who had died, you know, in the process. They did not want to do this one thing, to say, we surrender. Because they knew it's just terrible consequences could happen if they do this. To the English word says to capitulate, it means capitulieren, or to submit, and so on. And my father, who was a prisoner of war, finally they had to do it, he still shudders. He says, when I was in war and prison, the Russians didn't have a very good service, you know. they were really intense on us. But when you take shelter out of love, it all of a sudden makes the whole thing turn around and it becomes different. In bhakti, we are supposed to take shelter out of love, with the understanding, I am yours and you are mine. This is a loving mood, which is totally different. It's like a child who thinks, I'm your child, please, you take care of me. Happily, the father takes the child, it goes, the father goes here, the child doesn't ask, where are we going? The father knows.
we go here, we go there, here, eat this, open your mouth, mother has cooked, the child doesn't ask what, I mean, this comes later when the ego. And the child knows what mother cooks is good, you know. And in this way, this mood, I'm yours, Krishna. This is the mood in which you enter into the palace of bhakti. I'm yours, I belong to you, you are mine, I belong to you. It's natural for me to be with you. And in this mood, you also feel after some time, and you are mine. In other words, it doesn't mean to give up what we fear most when we hear the word surrender, that is to give up our own initiative. That's not what it means. And I read in a well-written article on the internet, I read about a nice analogy which I would love to share with you. To be in a Sharanagati position means surrendered or submissive. It does not mean to like what it means in the English word. And a good example is an Indian business. At one time, the father becomes old, and he goes out of the business, but he sits in the business, and he helps out whenever help is needed. Some of you have they bought books in Rasa Bihari Lal in Vrindavan, you know? There is this, you find the situation that I don't know what the family's name is, I forget, who knows? Rajbasis. Maybe, I think Rasa Bihari Lal is just the firm name, but they have a certain name. I forgot. I'm little. They always want my books in their shop and sell them for extra price, and I never want to do this. So we have a loving relationship. This is, in Braj, all relationships are loving. Also, when you joke about you are rich bosses, you are always cheating. You will never give me the price. Yes. But your books are so good. Yeah, but I will not give. It's a loving relationship to talk like this in Braj. So whenever I come to this, and I like them all very much, but I will never give them my books. Then I always see this scenario. There's this very old father. He's really old. He occupies a lot of space because he doesn't move any longer. He's there. And then there's his sons who do the business. And he's just there. And he's happy that the sons do the business. And whenever there's a difficult question which the sons cannot solve, then he is there and he knows everything. After all, he is old and experienced. Here the sons have all the initiatives, they do everything, but they know their father is there, and they know I'm yours and you are ours, we take care of you up to, you know, naturally that we take care of you entirely, you are ours, we are yours. It's a loving relationship. So how to come to this, let us say, loving attitude towards the word to surrender to God's will? That will be the subject of tomorrow's lecture. But I have a very nice, very nice secrets. And then we are ready to enter Nityananda's appearance state, because then we can surrender to our Lord, hopefully with love and devotion. I just wanted to ask this question. Is surrender really such a bad word? I think it is. We are afraid of it because of the connotations, das heißt die Assoziation, die uns kommt, wenn wir das Wort hören, Hingabe, Auslieferung, and so on. I think that is the reason. And we need to understand what Sharanagati means, to approach someone for shelter. And we also only know this word maybe in a little, let me say, immature context. You have to surrender to this Prabhu. You have to surrender. The novice means you have to do what you don't want to do in this context. We have maybe some experience with this. But we are now talking to surrender to Krishna, and we need to understand what it means, what it is. We need to also understand what it is not, so that we can actually answer to this call of the Lord, which is there within our heart. And I think you know it is there in your heart. Hare Krishna. I think you know it is there. This long. Dobro. Good. Tomorrow we start with, it's called The Art of Surrender. I'm happy. I couldn't go through all the subjects. It's actually, I noticed it's 4 lectures, not 2, but I only have 2, so I will do it in 2. See, I like this. Is it? Of course, when I asked, is it okay? You would say yes, and do something else. So I will not ask the question. I just want to say, I'm talking about something which is very alive in myself, and I believe since I'm aware of this subject, my life has changed very much. My best friend recently asked me, what do you think these days, Sachidananda Swami? And I'm telling him, I'm thinking that I should surrender. I'm thinking like this. I'm preparing myself for this. He said, really? yes. Everyone thinks you are surrender. Yes. I'm trying. That's not that I'm trying, but there are things I will try better. I can give more. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi ki jai. Time is there, isn't it?
If you like to take one or two questions, that's fine.
Maybe just to know if are there meaningful questions on this? Meaningful means, do they relate to this subject? Oh, yes, we have a friend of your questions. Please excuse me. You will talk for a long time, what you think, but we can talk this privately. Ada? Yes, Anadi Ada.
Just welcome much for this intense work on our hearts. If you allow me, I will ask a question related to a lecture from yesterday.
No.
Just
we are talking today on this.
But this had something to do with surrender.
Really?
You talked yesterday, when you come to Krishna, don't bring these 6 enemies with you. And you talked like anger, greed, and so on. And I was just thinking how it is possible to do, because if you surrender, all enemies are coming, and they are just in between you and Krishna.
You and Krishna, yes. Thank you, Anandira. I know you would. Just when you think of surrender, mayhem will break loose. That's an English way of saying it. It means all chaos will start. Because around
your heart, there is there are these, you know, things which are product or offspring of the ego, anger, lust, greed, enviousness, illusion, and so on. These sound very negative, and you think, I don't have this. It's a general categorization. It's just illusions. It's ego. We could give psychological terms like insecurities and modern language, but I think you know what I mean. It's almost like, you know, Ravana was a great, great intelligent person. He was at his time the greatest knower of the Vedas. Did you know this? He had one central head, but then there were all these other heads who constantly talked to him. And there was one head who was especially evil, bösartig. And we have one central thing, but then we have all these voices around us. Naturally, they come from many lifetimes. They are there. Many needs which we have, many, you know, manifestations of the many heads are talking to us. I mean, we are not like Ravana. I just want to give an analogy that there are many voices in us. It was sometimes difficult to look at Ravan, because when there was a difficult subject, 10 voices, these heads which he would not always see would come out and start to talk. So we also have many voices and so on. And you're right, when we surrender, Madhavendra Puri writes about this, there are doubts, intellectual doubts. Many doubts come up, many questions come up. And therefore, Anari Rara, I would really like to say, now I have just given the fundament, but tomorrow I will start, how can we do it realistically? Without also creating too much of a split in us between I don't want to say these voices, but some of our concerns which we have, which ultimately come from our conditioned nature. How can we move as an integrated person? And it's a gradual process. It has two things in it, which was in the shloka, which I read earlier to you. I hope I can find it quickly. Yes, it will come up soon. Yeah. Take shelter at the Lord when you can do, and engage in activities for His satisfaction. Let us be practical. Let us say you have received Brahman initiation to worship the deity, but somehow you only are able to do this twice in a week at this moment in your life. Then think, how can I do this maybe 3 times in a week? Not add slowly to it, and take shelter in the Lord like this. Do it. I think it's very important that we do our acts of taking shelter or approaching the Lord in a conscious way. Today I talked to Gokrishna. Gokrishna and myself, we had a very intense schedule, and both of us caught a very bad cold. He was the first one, and then I called it. Caught it in Radhadesh. And I said to Gokrishna, I know you are not well. I know you need extra sleep. You can do this up to 12 o'clock in the noon. But from then on, for 2 days, I require your absolute dedication to you, to all the different services you need to do. I also will do it. I had my rest this night, and from now on I will consciously serve the Vaishnavas. We all have to do it. It has to be consciously. I know I'm not Well, I'm personally fit now, but Gaur Krishna is not yet. But even if I wouldn't be fit, I was for 4 days, 6 days, really ill, and I knew I have to now surrender. I cannot not give the programs. I cannot not see the devotees. I have to do, even if, and I will do it for Prabhupada and Krishna. This will purify the heart, this conscious effort I'm now doing, not just routine work, but conscious work, that will purify the heart. No? As much as possible. I'm not such a high class Vaishnava as many of my god brothers, but I can do as I can do, and I will do it. I want to do it, and that purifies the heart. It really, really works like this, my dear devotees. Make a conscious effort. I'm doing this now for the pleasure of Vaishnavas, Guru, and Krishna. And you will see tremendous advancement. Obviously, we have to do according to our capabilities. If we constantly are overstretched, we crash. That, I think, is not your danger. Maybe it was in the past, but now it is not. Yes. Thank you. This was a meaningful question. It was short. It really went the question was meaningful. Why? Because it was a question of how can we do it in the face of all these opponents to our surrender. No? That is what I mean. It's a good question. Not so good questions if we talk long about something around it. We are not really clear what is our question and we don't come to the point, and it's not really a question, it's our own realization or statement. That is something which we can do when we are not so concentrated as in these lectures for Vyasa Puja. Then there's time for sharing. Good. So I will stop here because time is also there. And Hare Krishna, Gaura Hare.
Hare Krishna.
He did so much surrender. Maybe you want to ask someone how it is with Sachinanda Swami as a servant, then he will say, it means surrender from morning till evening. Krishna, I'm seeing Gaura Hare. That's why he came out so nice. Thank you.